injuries can happen for you, not to you, right? No one tends to view it that way in the time because they're suffering. But when you're vulnerable, you're in a state of ready to make changes.
If you've lived with chronic pain, then you know how debilitating and disruptive to daily life it can be. I know it was for me for many years, and many of us suffer silently from chronic pain, and finding relief from it can constantly be a struggle. We've tried medications, we've tried different physios and osteos and different practitioners. However, there is a natural and effective way to alleviate chronic pain that oftentimes goes overlooked. Going barefoot, of all things. In this episode, we're going to explore why going barefoot is essential for overcoming chronic pain and how it can actually provide significant relief, especially if it seems like you've tried just about everything. Welcome back, athletes. I'm your host, Sherry Chaban, and with each episode, I am honored to be your coach and guide in the journey to fall in love with fitness and ultimately yourself. My intention in each episode is to help you release the old story of who you are and step into the one you are always meant to be. Through these conversations, together we will step away from focusing on the doing and step into the being so that health and fitness is not just what you do, but who you are. On today's episode of Fall in Love with Fitness, Gregory Stern, a physiotherapist and owner of From the Ground Up Physiotherapy Montreal, shares his journey of overcoming a foot injury and chronic pain. We discuss the importance of addressing the root cause of injuries and chronic pain rather than relying on temporary solutions that oftentimes are just band-aid solutions to what is really going on. Greg advocates for barefoot movement and the use of minimalist shoes to promote healthy feet and natural movement. He also challenges the traditional notion of good posture and encourages people to relax their backs and allow their bodies to move in a natural way through slouching. According to Gregory, healing happens from the bottom up. Join me in this enlightening conversation with physiotherapist Gregory Stern as we explore the importance of understanding our bodies and finding the root cause of our problems. I learned so much from this conversation, and I am certain today you will be walking away with a new perspective around chronic pain and healing your body from the bottom up. All right, athletes, now before we dive in, I want to remind you that we are just 4 weeks away from Transformation in Paradise, Costa Rica this November, November 25 to December 2nd. And so if you are ready and wanting to release self-sabotaging habits and addictive behaviors once and for all that have been keeping you from becoming the highest version of yourself, then I invite you to check out this retreat because this is likely a right fit for you. You can head on over to sherrychaban.com/retreats to learn more. And you can also book a call with me to ask more questions about the retreat so that we can determine if this is going to be the right fit for you. So if you are ready to take action, make sure to do it now because we've got less than 4 weeks to go and just a couple more spots before we close off registration. We are almost fully sold out. And by the way, if you rate and review this podcast on iTunes and then send over the screenshot to sherry@sherrychaban.com, you're going to receive a 10% off voucher to join me in Paradise this November. All right, athletes, now without further ado, let's meet Gregory. Hi, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So you're my first physiotherapist, I think. No, I had a pelvic floor physiotherapist on one time. You're my first physiotherapist, I think, to be on the show. And I'm so excited to start this conversation with you because you're a fellow Montrealer, I just found out. You also went to McGill University, which is super badass. And you're the foot dude. And you help people overcome injuries and overall chronic pain, I think, from the ground up. And I'm so curious to hear about it because something I didn't share with you, Greg, is I'm also a fellow nerd. I'm an osteopath and also studied athletic therapy. So we're about to get into some pretty cool conversation. So welcome to the show, Greg. And before we begin, I would love to hear why you got into physiotherapy and maybe share even with the audience why this work is so meaningful to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think as most physios, I come into physiotherapy with my own injury. And that's often what gets people into the field of trying to help yourself. And that selfish pursuit along the way, I accumulated a lot of unique knowledge. And now I'm sharing that with the world. But Right now, I'm 29 years old and I'm the owner of a clinic called From the Ground Up Physiotherapy. And I'm all about helping people get to the root cause of their problem. Instead of these band-aid solutions and temporary hands-on therapy, I really flip it, rehab on its head, where it's all about movement. And that started for me 10 years ago, suffering from a routine ankle sprain playing flag football. And as any 19-year-old hurts themselves, they keep playing. You just kind of push through the pain. And at the time, I was playing quarterback. So catch and throw the ball, no problem. I didn't really need to run too much. And we actually won a championship that season. However, after the season, injury lingered on. And 2 months later, 3 months later. And my father's an emergency physician and my mom's a physiotherapist. So I've been in the healthcare industry my entire life. But no matter what hookups I had and the physios that I was going to see myself, nothing seemed to be working. So they were doing lots of hands-on and different like bandage strength exercises and towel curls and calf raises and all the things that are often given, but nothing really was working. And eventually I went into orthotics. I saw a podiatrist. I saw different professionals, osteos, chiros, everything trying to get my foot to feel better, and nothing was working. And I was at a point where I'm 21 at the time, and I'd just be standing barefoot for like 10 seconds, and I'd be in constant buzzing discomfort. And my whole body started breaking down. I just didn't feel comfortable in my body anymore. And eventually, I ended up starting to consult with different surgical options. And eventually, I ended up getting surgery on my ankle 2.5 years after the initial injury. And that, to be honest, was like this aha moment, thinking that everything would be solved. And that was really just the start of my journey. And I hit a real low point after the surgery because I started developing like really bad hip pain and back pain that was lingering now beyond just the foot pain. And I really felt broken, unbalanced, and quite depressed at, not being able to do anything I like to do anymore and just being in constant pain. And I really knew that I needed to take a deep dive to like understand my body, understand mechanics, to figure out what was going on, because what solutions I was being offered thus far hadn't really scraped, like maybe temporary relief here and there, but like nothing really permanent whatsoever. And that was kind of when I was deciding at the time, we mentioned McGill University. I was thinking about going into medicine. So I had studied physiology, which is the study of, human systems, as like, cardiorespiratory and endocrinology and all that. And I'm super interested with the body, but I decided to pivot and go into physiotherapy myself, thinking that would be, could start to learn about the body more and help myself. And while that sounded great in nature, most of the education that I was receiving was kind of the same treatment that I was being given, which was this isolated approach that didn't connect the body parts to work well together. And it was really until I started looking outside the brink of institutionalized education that I started to understand some different things about the body. So I found a company called the Foot Collective based out of Ottawa, and they're all about foot health and about how our shoes get in the way of healthy feet. And I had never really heard about any of this, and I wasn't being taught that in school. And I started to collect more mentors and start to apply the things that I was working on and studying. And it's a long story short type of vibe, but lots of different mentors and lots of different people that thought about the body differently and connected the body to work together. And fast forward, I'm now able to do 10-kilometer hikes barefoot. I do slacklining, so I slackline back and forth. I teach people how to do this, and I get people out of pain every single day that have claimed to have tried everything and been around the houses, and now methods and teachings that I apply to myself, I'm now helping people every day get out of pain and get back to doing the things they love, which is, an awesome job, very rewarding, doesn't feel like work, and I get to be active at work and love what I do. So that's kind of my story.
Wow, so good, so good. Your soul lit up as you share that, and I have to tell you, I so feel your energy, and your work here is so important, and I can imagine how fulfilling it must be. And as you're talking, those that are listening on audio, I'm reading behind Greg here this beautiful quote by Conor McGregor, who's like my favorite athlete. Say what you want about him, I don't care. I love his mindset, and it's like, oh my God, so incredibly attractive. But he says, an injury is not a process of recovery, it's a process of discomfort. discovery. And that's exactly what it is. It's actually our opportunity to become still and to really understand even what is going on in the body. There's disturbances that come up when we are going through chronic pain. It absolutely takes over our life. So anyone who's experienced chronic pain, you know this, that it's not just about the pain, but you're in a completely different mood. It starts to affect your relationships, starts to affect your outlook on life, it starts to affect your work, it starts to affect your mindset, your motivation. And so it's incredibly important to address this part of ourselves if we are suffering from this. And it's so interesting, Greg, as you're sharing your story, because I have something kind of similar. I am just a little bit older than you, and I was actually by a car when I was younger, when I was in high school. I've had surgery on my back twice. At that time, that was my only solution. And to be honest, very grateful for allopathic medicine because it could have ended up very, very much worse. I was, I had cauda equina syndrome. It could have really been much worse. But all this to say is all the approaches that I was also taking around therapy was very isolated. It was very much around the back. And in fact, most of the advice that I was receiving was take this medication, take these painkillers, and then do less. Because if you do more, that's going to be the issue. And so the more I actually listened to this advice and the less I did and the more pain medication I took, well, first of all, medication was doing absolutely nothing for me. I was getting so accustomed to it. And then the less I did, the more pain I had. And it wasn't until I actually started to use my body against all advice I had received from doctors at the time. This was many years ago when they said, don't do anything when you get injured. The more I did that, the worse it got. And so as I started to get more strong and more stable and really reconnect with my body, that's where I really was able to overcome pain. And it's so interesting. I went for my run this morning, and as I was running, I just was just this thought came up in my mind. I'm like, wow, I don't resonate at all with a person who has a back issue. Like, I don't resonate at all with a person who's had surgery on their back twice because I'm so in tune with my body and the balance that it needs to have biomechanically to overcome pain that it's just that part of me is just non-existent. And so I hope through our conversation today, anyone who's listening can have hope in realizing that chronic pain, the body knows how to address that. There's this inner doctor that we have that is able to readdress it when we give back the natural function and movement of the body. So thank you for sharing that, Greg.
100%. You couldn't have said it better myself. And we often, the words good and bad often come up in life. That's so bad, that's so good. But those are just concepts and time frames, right? So like at the time, I could look at that as the worst thing that happened to me. And of course, I was extremely depressed at the time. Like I was not in a good space. However, if we can zoom forward in time, that I would have probably gone into medicine. Probably my parents wanted me to do that, and like, but at the end of the day, like now I run my own clinic and I get to give this gift back to people. And so, good or bad, like it all depends on time frames because it's the best blessing that's ever happened. And it's reshifted my mindset. Every time I do have a little pain here and there, it's like, all right, well, how can I learn from this? And, generally speaking, I am like fantastic. Body feels great. And then recently, a couple of weeks ago, I just, I'm moving in these very interesting ways when I train, something called like coiling core training. So this guy, David Weck, who's the creator of the Bosu ball, he's all into this idea that like, our spines are meant to move like dogs. And when we go to the gym, most people think, get core tight, squeeze your butt, squeeze your glutes. And we don't go outside the confines of this sagittal plane, meaning i.e. forward and backwards, instead of exploring our bodies. And for the most part, my training is all about this coiling and moving very fluidly, like a fighter, right? This idea of like this graceful movement. And then I decided to put weight on my back and ended up doing too much and I hurt myself. And I was coming back, I got to check in my ego and right, why am I doing that? And I just kind of disconnected from myself. And that wasn't like the way that I've been approaching fitness for the last many years. And so it's just okay, a recheck in. So injuries can happen for you, not to you, right? Again, no one tends to view it that way in the time because they're suffering. But when you're vulnerable, you're in a state of ready to make changes. And that's what I really like about my job is that people are very, I practice in very unique ways that go against the grain for the most part. And people are like, well, I've never been told this my whole life. I've been told the exact opposite of what you're telling me. I'm like, man, how has it turned out for you so far?
Exactly.
So I think it's interesting because people are talking emotionally to me. They're talking, physically to me, just all right, like we got to change some things in my life. And that's what injuries are about is it's like, all right, it's got to alter your life. And instead of getting distracted with all the things that we have to distract us, like let's go inward and figure out like what's going on with like everything. Because, it really does put a stop on your life when you are dealing with like depending obviously the severity and what type of injury, but certainly it's a time to discover, self-discovery, right? As the quote says.
So good. I love how you tied in the emotional part because really, when somebody presents themselves with an injury, it's not just the injury. There was all this other stuff in your life that happened that brought you to this injury, which sometimes we don't see. We actually see it as an isolated incident where I injured, I sprained my ankle or I hurt my back or, right? Like to your point around hurting your back just recently, there is the ego involved and there might be other things involved. Sometimes we're so distracted. We're so focused on all the other things in our lives that are happening and we're not being present. And I remember many years ago, I owned a gym before the pandemic, and my daughters would always come in after school. I'd pick them up after school. I'd go back to the gym. I would start swinging the kettlebell around a little bit. And one of the days, as I was training in the afternoon, my youngest one, she must have been 7 or 6 at the time, she's running around and I'm swinging a kettlebell. And as I'm swinging, I'm turning, tell her, Kara, watch out, you're going to hit your head. And someone was lifting up this bar. And boom, I put my back out. And because the reason why I did that was I wasn't being mindful. I wasn't being present. I was so incredibly distracted. And so when we do injure ourselves and something breaks down the body, there is a psychological component. There's an emotional component. There's a physiological component. There's a spiritual component. All of these things tie in. And none of those can be separated because that's who we are. We are all those things. And so it's
That's
so
it.
incredibly important to address that. And even inflammation and nutrition, not looking at it as in calories in and calories out, and it's all about releasing weight, but understanding that also what we're eating is either helping our healing process or delaying it. It's either creating more inflammation or it's helping us overcome inflammation. And so many things to address here, but I'm super curious. And just you mentioned that you went on a hike, I think it was a long hike barefoot. I'm just so curious about that. So I actually want to go back and hear more about
Yeah,
that.
for
What
sure.
is with this whole barefoot thing? I've heard many concepts in the past. I'd be honest, I've tried running barefoot before, and if anything, I became so incredibly sore in my calves. And so I'm sure there's a way to progressively get there, but maybe you can share with us what are the benefits and why would you recommend for someone to give that a try?
Well, I think the simplest thing to understand, like to contextualize everything, is like evolution. Hundreds of thousands of years of evolution, we evolved on this planet barefoot to walk on uneven terrain, to walk on grass, on the soil, on the roots and the rocks and everything in between. And then all of a sudden, there was a moment in time, and it's in the last like 50, 60 years when Phil Knight popularized the Nike shoe, that we decided that if our feet are not supported by these fancy technology shoes, then our feet are screwed. And inherently, our feet are flawed unless they're inside these shoes. We have no capacity to use our feet appropriately. Now, the reality is, as I mentioned, our feet are robust, they're strong, they're meant to be able to move well. Now, when we look inside an ASICS, a New Balance, a Nike, what we'll see is a shoe that is too tapered in at the toe box. Now, we could obviously understand that when it comes to a high-heeled shoe, a nice triangle, everyone will agree that your foot does not fit inside a triangle, obviously. However, even your ASICS is too narrow. Even when you buy your double E version, the widest part of most shoes is at the ball of the foot and then it comes in at the toes. So imagine, you and I both live in a very cold place called Montreal and it's minus 10.
We can debate about that later, but yeah.
You don't find it cold at minus 20?
It's all right. It's all right.
Okay, fine. But for most people, they find it cold. Okay, so anyhow, the idea is that imagine you wore mittens your entire life. So gloves let your fingers move, but mittens, where your four fingers are glued together, they don't move very well. And so the same thing is happening inside of our tapered toe box shoes, where our wide feet are not allowed to spread out the way that they're supposed to. So instead of, think about bunions, Morton's neuromas, all these different problems, it's just a result of your foot being squished in too much all the time. Now, the next element of footwear that kind of screws people up is this idea that most shoes are not flexible. So you're like, obviously not. We need arch support. We need rigid motion control, stability, gel shock technology, all the things you've been told. But imagine you broke your arm and you're in a cast. Well, what's going to happen to your arm after 6 weeks? Is it going to be loosey-goosey or is it going to be nice and tight after it's been spent all that time, right? So it's pretty tight and all the muscles atrophy. What happens inside a shoe when they can't move is that your feet, the bones, the joints, everything gets tighter and the muscles stop being able to go through their full range of motion. So now we have a weak foot, a stiff foot, a tapered toe box. We could take the element of most shoes, again, coming back to this idea that, again, 3-inch heel, very obvious for people to understand. Why do women like to wear high heels? Well, what does it do? It makes your legs longer. It accentuates curves, bigger breasts, bigger busts, but all that good stuff. But it comes at a cost that basically everything gets compressed on the backside. And so even an ASICS that has a half inch heel lift is doing that to a lesser extent. Now, when we're born with our heel and our toes flat on the floor. But what's happening is that when we push our body out of alignment, now we have to make compensations 24/7 to make sure that the body is like doesn't feel like it's falling over. And then the final piece of the puzzle, and we'll talk about why I go barefoot, is basically imagine you go outside and it's very sunny. You don't wear a blindfold, you wear sunglasses. But when people think that a good shoe is a Hoka or just a nice fat cushioning Nike Air Max, Adidas Boost, you name your brand, whatever it is, we're basically dumbing down the signal that our feet are supposed to feel from the ground. Just like our hands, our feet have just as many nerve endings, and there's so much information that can be gleaned about the surfaces we walk on, and balance is achieved by the feet feeling. When we don't feel the ground very well, we kind of imagine you're standing on a pillow, you're kind of off balance. So there are these new shoe companies that exist that have these wide toe box shoes that are flat, that are flexible, that are thin, that just protect the foot but don't impose on the foot. And so why I go barefoot hiking is this idea that it's an extremely enriching experience to go on the ground and feel my feet. And people think, oh my God, aren't you going to sprain your ankle or aren't you going to, step on something? It's like, one, I'm a lot more mindful when I walk. Two, when you're in a big hiking boot and you hit one bad rock, well, you're a lot more likely to sprain your ankle than my foot that has 26 bones and 33 joints that can adapt to uneven terrain. So it's a very cool experience. And this, again, comes from someone who dealt with 5 years of foot pain. So the foot changes in response to the load. Now, when someone goes and just runs barefoot or in like these more minimalist shoes after being more in an ASICS or a Hoka, it's a transition process. So your calves feel it because normally what happens when we run, we tend to heel strike a lot more, which loads the joints rather than like the ball of the foot and the midfoot. And so you're not loading the tissues, you're rather like kind of banging through your joints. So it's not that it's a bad thing that you felt your calves. It's just about like slowly transitioning because, one of the things that happened was, those five-finger-toed shoes that exist, when they first came out, like people asked me, what do you think of them? Like, I think they're great. What I think is that if you go and run 10 kilometers in ASICS and then you run 10 kilometers in those, well, that's like going to the gym for the first time, putting on 500 pounds on the bench and trying to, bench it. It's like your feet are weak right now and need to experience the transition process along with a lot of the things I show people, which is to, re-educate the foot to move well.
So good. I love everything you said. Yeah, and agree with that too. And it is true. I am hardcore, and the first time I decided to, change the way that I ran, even when I started to more 4 foot land versus heel strike, I had to do my full distance. I never allow myself to progressively get into it. So I totally get that. And so people are now listening. And by the way, as you were sharing, I wanted to share with you that I found a shoe that I find very for my feet. I actually have a wider sort of toes in the front, and
So
so
does everyone, by the way.
yeah,
Everyone's got that wide foot in front. But yes,
right.
go on.
And so mine excessively, like, I don't know what it is excessively. I don't know if it's ever since I started trail running or had kids, but mine got even wider, and I found these great shoes called Ultras, and this is not to
Yeah, the ultras are.
those are really, really
What
great.
I like to caveat with people when it comes down to, because one of the elements I mentioned is thin, so that
Right.
you could feel the ground. Now, there's a caveat, the stars and asterisks there, whereas like I think a good idea for most people is to transition to ultra because they are wide, they are flat, they are flexible, but they have the cushioning that people are accustomed to, less so than like a lot of shoes, but it's a good place to start. And personally, that's too cushiony for me right now because I'm so used to being barefoot that I love like, a company called Vivo Barefoot or, there's tons and tons of brands that are out there. But the point to make is that that transition process is very helpful. And even for those that like trail running, Vivos are great. Asphalt running, Vivos, not so much, because the asphalt is kind of tough and bangy and whatever. So I prefer, the ultra shoe when it comes down to either transitioning or for running.
Amazing, amazing. And so maybe now somebody's listening and saying, well, you know what, Greg, I have flat feet. And so my doctors and my physios have recommended that I need all those cushioning and I need a stiffer shoe and it's not so flexible in the front. So what would you say to that for a person who is wanting to maybe overcome some of the joint pain that they're experiencing elsewhere in their body due to flat feet? What would you recommend for them in terms to get into that
Yeah,
place?
it's a great question. So, just important to recognize, you know who has flat feet? Usain Bolt. You know who has flat feet? Billions of people.
So
And
good.
flat feet by nature are not a death sentence. People hear the word flat and feet, they're like, they worry, like it's something bad. Now, the important thing to recognize is like a high arch foot versus a flat foot, one is not better than the other. It's does a foot have the capacity to move? So, in fact, this sounds very weird, but I actually teach feet to flatten. Our feet are meant to flatten, everyone. Okay. So think about a trampoline. A foot is meant to load, explode. So the foot goes down, the muscles of the foot get loaded, and then they propel us forward. So a foot is by nature supposed to be rigid, then adaptable and flexible, then rigid again. And so it alternates between flexible and rigid. Now, if we place an arch support under the foot, what we're doing is we're preventing the foot from going through its natural cycle, arch support or orthotic. Now, I have flat feet as well, but my feet are very dynamic. That's the thing I care about is does a foot have the capacity to do both things? Because often people with very high arch feet have very stiff feet, and that's not necessarily better either way. Now, one of the things with this transition process is to make sure we learn how to use our feet. And so I know that sounds like very like theoretical, obviously. But one thing that I can invite people to just like picture for a second is imagine you're about to start a race. So imagine your right leg is forward, your left foot is light, and you're like about to start a race. Would you be leaning forward or leaning backwards to start a race?
Right, leaning forward. Right.
Leaning forward. So we all can appreciate that. The thing is, when I get someone to bend their, like put one foot forward and ask them to keep that back leg light and ask them to bend their knee, most people's ribs go backwards.
Right.
So what that's happening is that they're actually loading into their heel, they're hanging on their back, and their muscles are not loaded. And so one thing that such a simple adjustment, but like imagine you're just standing with one foot forward and I ask you to bend your knee and you don't lose height, but you transition your body forward, like your chest, your nose, you bring your nose over your toes and everything just moves forward via your ankle. And all of a sudden your forefoot pushes into the ground and your calf kicks on. And then all of a sudden the muscular chain is working as a unit. And so then I start to get people to pronate or supinate, i.e. flatten or to rearch and get their body loading. But getting people into that position makes people's legs shake. That's their nervous system turning on in a new way. And so that's the key thing here that I teach to do is I teach people to stack so that the system is working as a unit. And so let's say you're having hip pain and you've been given banded clamshells or lying leg raises. That does not mimic the demands of real life. Real life is against gravity. And so why so much of physical therapy or osteo or whatever you name your profession, when you say you've tried everything, most of the time what you've tried is a lot of manual therapy and a lot of lying on the floor. But what I'm doing is I'm progressively overloading you to learn how the installation of gait, i.e. walking, is installed in all of us. And so the things I do mimic gait and I exaggerate gait in these different ways. And again, like as I mentioned, people's legs start to shake and vibrate. And that's a really cool thing because that's like their body changing immediately. So that's, an awesome thing is getting people to start connecting their body literally from the ground up. So the feet, the calves, hamstrings, quads, but all working together. And that's where real cool changes start to happen.
So good. I love that. I love that. You're so spot on, Greg, and everything you're saying is just so making so much sense. And if anybody's been getting treatments regularly, and I've always found this a little bit weird, and this is not, I mean, I really think there's a place for everybody. And I'll even say, as an osteopath, I always tell my patients, I have the rule of five, like after five treatments, you should feel relief. And now enough with the treatments, let's get you strong and stable. Otherwise, we continue treatments forever. But I've always found it super curious when somebody has signed up for like a package of sessions with a particular practitioner and they need to go for quick adjustments every so often, but they're still constantly coming back. I mean, the body is meant to learn and readapt and re-strengthen. And to your point, by turning on certain elements of the nervous system to have the body start to move into new patterns of movement, then it changes everything. So if you've been doing treatment for a long time over this particular thing that's been going on for so long, maybe it's time to relook the movement patterns and see what else you could do to strengthen and stabilize to overcome that pain.
I definitely agree. I mean, I think, by nature, no practitioner, whether it be a podiatrist that's recommending you being in orthotics or a doctor that's saying something, is like inherently a bad person. I don't think their journey has led them to understand the importance of a lot of things we're talking about. And doctors are not trained in movement. So that's like our whole system is backwards because you have some pain and you go to a practitioner like a doctor, and the doctor says, like, well, I could eat. What are the tools in my arsenal? I have a scanner. I could X-ray you, MRI you. I could give you medication, or I could refer out. And oftentimes, like what doctors do is they focus on the diagnosis. Like, what is the itis or whatever problem it is? I have never diagnosed a single person in my clinic for the last 3.5 years. I say you have a move. Like I just make a simple drawing, and I said, remember that test where you couldn't hold, and this test you couldn't hold? Well, as you can see, your knee's just being overloaded, and so what we need to do is get everything to work better together. You understand that? Makes sense? Yeah. So I don't have to tell someone they have patellar tendonitis or whatever itis, because now I start to get into fear mode and whatever it is. And so those practitioners that are giving those temporary, it's kind of like a merry-go-round wheel of the same treatments over and over again. And then if the patient's not getting better, they're like, well, you're probably not just being disciplined enough with what I'm showing. It's like, maybe not. Maybe things you're doing are just not mimicking what they want to get back to. And so if you go and spend most of the time at the table and then they get try to go back to running, well, you haven't really taught them how to get springy and elastic again. So
Integration.
that bridging the gap between the table and real life is where, I find that I specialize in is progressing people, and that's where it's missing. And so it's got to be not just about hands-on therapy. That's one tool in the toolbox.
Oh, so good. It's so interesting, all of these diagnoses, to your point, those are all labels, right? And we wear them like badges. And it's interesting because if every single one of us on the planet went to go get some imaging done on our shoulders, on our back, on our knees, on our ankles, we would all have something.
Even if we don't have pain,
Even
basically.
if we don't feel any pain. But the moment you hear this diagnosis, now you're so attached to that label, you start changing everything you're doing because of that information. And I have the exact same beef around, nutrition plans or tracking your stuff because you never have that intuitive connection with your body that's actually really telling you what's going on. And so it's so incredibly important not to hang on to that diagnosis so strongly. I had somebody, a client come in to see me, and she just came back from a doctor. She went in for one knee, went to go get imaging on one knee. They ended up doing both knees. The other knee, the one that she doesn't complain of, has more issues, and now she wants to change like all of the things. And I said, look, I will never ignore the issue. I'm going to help you strengthen and stabilize and activate because if you don't use it, you lose it. Like this is what it is. And so, yes, there's this intelligence and there's these boundaries that we have to have around pushing ourselves in a negative way around pain. The body's still telling you something when there's pain coming up. We don't push against that. We don't forcefully with the ego push against it. However, we use that information, then we also find a way to reconnect and then reestablish that integrity in the body.
And 100%.
So good. So you also mentioned just coming back to talking about labeling and just being sort of attached to that diagnosis. You also mentioned the dangers around being a victim of your injury. So could you expand on that a little bit? What is so dangerous about seeing yourself as a victim of whatever injury or whatever chronic pain you're suffering from?
Well, I think victims put responsibility on other people, right? And when we act as victims, we're not going to look inward. And when you say, my doctor told me this, and this person told me this, and this person told me this, like you don't have autonomy over your own decisions. And we always have choices. And so, my main goal for most people is like, I'm not here to fix you. People say, I always ask on my evaluation, like, I've got a magic wand. Like, what's your main goal for coming to see me? And they're like, fix me. It's like, I'm not here to be your fixer. And I don't think any practitioner, if they think that their hands are God and they're going to fix their clients, you got it wrong. Because I'm here to be your guide. And yes, I want to, like we're here together in this team. We're going to make a treatment plan together. We're going to understand that there's a graded exposure plan. But ultimately, I'm here to empower you to take responsibility for your health. And the moment you start to connect with these exercises, the shaking, like I mentioned, is like, maybe you're doing those exercises that you did before and like you didn't feel connected to them because weren't doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, don't tell the practitioners, just they weren't doing anything. And so, test retest, like if I do something, I should see an immediate nervous system change in terms of like, not necessarily they're pain-free, but at least something made a difference after my intervention. So that's the thing, is that when people feel different after I'm showing them something, now they're like, okay, well, now there's a light under their, under their tuchus, in terms of just like feeling a desire to, to commit to the treatment plan. But that's about, it's all about them taking ownership in their body rather than be like, can't do anything about this. Well, if you can't, oftentimes, like the last thing to comment on this statement is that, how many times have we heard like the doctor said they'll never walk again, and they walk again. So there's
Right.
two types of people. One that says, fuck you, I'm going to walk again. The other one says, your words are my reality. And so we now adopt this hierarchical relationship where the doctor is above me, and because they say, well, like, look, you're just gonna have to deal with this. Well, yeah, really, like that's a huge statement. That's like so arrogant for someone to say that to you, because they don't, what do you mean? How many times have we seen people heal? So, that's a huge thing, is that, okay, well, if you're gonna play the victim mentality, and again, I definitely empathizing with people with pain. I've had lots of pain throughout my entire body, all sorts of compensations. But if you find the right person that can guide you through a process of you taking ownership, the sky's the limit. And every time you find weakness, you now have to start to reframe that as potential.
My gosh, so good. So good. And you've said so many amazing things just now. And I want to just unpack a little bit of what you said. And it's so interesting because for whatever reason, and again, I've also come from a line of doctors. Both my parents were doctors or physicians. My brother is. So I've experienced and I've heard enough around. And what's super interesting is we hold doctors so responsible for the know-it-all and the be-it-all in our society. And if the doctor said it, then it must be true. And whatever the doctor says about my nutrition, I'm going to follow, even though they've never been formally trained in nutrition. Whatever the doctor says about my injury or my sport or how much activity I should do, I will listen, even though they've never been formally trained in that. They are doctors of medicine, of medication, of medicine. They're very great at diagnoses. They're great at symptoms, signs and symptoms, and then I'll tell you which medication or intervention is the best according to allopathic medicine. And it's not to take away from them because, again, we're sharing here is that everyone's got their place, but we also need to advocate for our own health. If there is something that doesn't feel right, then I need to just pursue other opinions. And most importantly, I need to listen to my body. And the only way that I can move forward and heal myself is to take my power back. It's not because this doctor said I've got only 6 months left to live that that's truth, because with all due respect, they are not God. They cannot tell us how much time we have left or what our future outcome is. But really, if we want to move forward and we want to find healing, then we have to start to listen to our body and then seek out information and continue to seek out knowledge, because there is always a way. And the amount of people that I've had on this podcast, Greg, who've had a diagnosis where they were told they would never walk again or they would never make it. I've had somebody come on who had a stroke and all she could move was her pinky. She's completely recovered. She's now a public speaker. And it's just the more and more and more you hear these stories, the more you are absolutely spot on. We continue to play the victim. Well, we're going to stay in that space. There actually is no possibility for us. It's who we are. It's what we end up identifying with versus the moment we realize that we have the power and we own what's going on. We're not the victim. And your words are just words. I'm actually going to find a better way.
I just find it, I agree. I just find it sad that the words, like, humans hang on to hope and faith, right? Like, it's so important to who we are. Like, whether you're religious or not, there's some sort of faith or, grandiose idea of like we're all connected in some sort of way. And I just think that, like, doctors in that place of where they're at say the words, because instead of just being saying, I honestly don't know, like, be humble enough to say, I don't know. Like, I don't know what it's going to be, and I don't have all the answers. And I think it's important to, like, they're well connected to, in quote unquote, alternative health, even though, like, we have to call ourselves alternative, even though we're holistic. I find it very funny that that's like the way that we go about, viewing the world. But yes, I agree. That's something over time, like, I have to develop even a healthier relationship with like looking at the modern medical world, because I think that, like, I tend to bash it a lot. And it's probably coming from a place of like, my parents were really pushing me to go into medical school. And, it was a whole shebang to say, like, well, actually, like, this is my calling. And Yeah, I just think that it's just everyone has their place, as you say it, but it's important that we all can acknowledge our shortcomings and be aware that, when we think about like, okay, like something like reflexology or traditional Chinese medicine, we don't just balk our eyes. We're like, tell me more. Like, how can I learn from you about that and marry Western and Eastern medicine? Because there's obviously these things have been going on, like Ayurvedic medicine from India. Like, there's so many interesting things, and like, I dive into all that myself whenever I'm just because I'm curious, and I just like think that there's just way more out there. Can't be arrogant enough to think that we know it all.
So good. You're so awesome, Greg. I love talking to you. And if anyone's in Montreal, you got to go see Greg because clearly he's the dude to see. And I actually might come see you too. It's so interesting. I treat people, I help people, I service people. This is my life. Yet it never happens. Like I never
For
receive,
sure, of course, that's the nature of being in this world.
I've been looking for someone. I'm like, I want a therapist. Like I want someone. And I love these
We'll
conversations.
definitely connect.
Same thing. Okay, so as we sort of sign off today, maybe we could leave our audience with some tips. And especially now, just let's face it, modern world, whether you're working from home or at work, we're always sitting in the office. The majority of our life is seated. We're sitting and driving, we're sitting and eating, we're sitting and watching TV, we're sitting and working. What advice can you give to someone to help them maybe establish a better way to protect their body and prevent chronic pain in the back or neck?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So one thing that obviously what we were talking about in this whole conversation about feet is like your home, kick your shoes off, be barefoot more around, go outside on your grass in your park in your backyard and spend some more time barefoot. Go slowly if you've never been barefoot, but like again, forget about advice like I need to be barefoot. Oh, sorry, I need to be in shoes even in the house. So that's like one thing when it comes to like healthy feet. Now, this one is going to, come as a shock to a lot of people, but one of the things that I advocate for a lot is slouching. I tell people to slouch. And let's get into that because I think that we've been told our entire lives sit up straight, stand up straight, shoulders down and back, and good posture means chest up. Now, I invite the audience to squeeze their hands together as hard as they can. So you're going to take your hands and squeeze together as hard as you can, okay? And you're going to go for like 5, 10 seconds. And you're going to squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. Now, I want you to do that for 12 hours, okay? Now, think about yourself when you're sitting up straight with your back. What are you doing to your back? Well, you're taking those erector muscles, the low back muscles, and your whole back of your rib cage, and you're just compressing it together. Kind of like we talked about the high-heeled shoes, this idea of that area being compressed. So when you're sitting up straight or standing up straight, what you're doing is you're getting taller via your lower back and you're squeezing those muscles. I've never stopped to consider that maybe our back doesn't want that. And if we think about, I was in India 10 years ago and I see 80-year-olds there that could do a deep squat ass to grass with their back completely rounded and relaxed. And that's the natural resting posture of the human body, is to be able to squat down. Now, most North Americans cannot do a deep squat, but many Asian countries around the world can. And it has nothing to do with them having cooler hips than us. It's just a cultural thing that they use it or you lose it, right? And so one thing I would encourage people is to kind of put your hands in your ribs and take a long exhale. What I mean by long exhale is like, and really feel the body goes down and give yourself permission to kind of find the back of the butt, let the shoulders round forward. I know that goes against everything you've been told by mom and dad and grandpa and teachers that your shoulders need to be back because the natural resting posture of the shoulder is slightly forward. Imagine shaking someone's hand while keeping your shoulder down and back. You'd be like, what the hell is going on with this person? Our shoulders are meant to glide around the rib cage, the shoulder blades. And if we constantly are squeezing our scapulas back, the shoulder blades back together, well, now we're limiting their possibility of moving in front of the body, which is where life happens. So getting into a deep squat position, even elevating your heels, spending more time on the floor, allowing your back to relax, doing things that are more congruent. I just had a client today. She's like, yeah, like it doesn't feel natural what they told me, but I've been trying it. And her ribs are super flared up. And most people's ribs are very flared in front. It's like, imagine you're walking and I try to scare you. You're walking across the street and I go, boo, your ribs are going to pop up and you're going to be in chest up mode. And that's fight or flight. This is the sympathetic tone of the whole system versus when you sigh, like everything kind of deflates and you relax. So a lot of things I do with clients, like I'll have them doing balloon breathing, getting their ribs to come down and learning how to breathe in quietly rather than most people's advice when they're stressed is take a deep breath and they go and they sniff and they go up. What I rather teach people is how to relax the ribs, and breathing quietly through their nose to allow the rib cage to expand. So there's a lot of, obviously lots to dive into. And I don't mean slouching as in 6 inches of your head in front of your body. What I mean is allowing your back to actually give it permission to relax.
Relax, yeah. So good. So good. You are such a fresh conversation to have, honestly, with. And Greg, I have to tell you that it's not often that I'll have a conversation like this with a physio. And to be honest, the majority of my interactions with physio is very much around isolated injury or isolated issue in the body. And so this has been so incredibly enlightening. I loved everything we talked about. And so, on that note, if somebody wanted to reach out to you to connect with you and learn more, where could they go to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the name of my clinic is From the Ground Up Physiotherapy, but like on Instagram, Facebook, all that jazz, it's Ground Up Physio. So Ground Up Physio, PHYSIO. So I do in-person sessions. I also do virtual consultations. I have people all around the world, and currently I've helped out tons of people that have dealt with chronic issues, even online, because physical therapy is meant to be physical. So if you just have the right coach and I could get him to the right positions, him or her, and I guide people, I show them that can guide them through the right positions. Works fantastic. The other thing is I've also packaged together an online program teaching the exact same system that I'm using with my one-on-one clients that have helped people that have tried everything get out of pain. So that's the whole idea behind that program is it's suitable for beginner or advanced. It can be done in the comfort of your own home. It's suitable for really anyone suffering from any issue, or even if you're not, because for me, pain and performance are the exact same thing. Pain equals I'm not moving well. Performance equals let's optimize movement. One and the same. So if you want to get more out of your body, move better. If you want to get out of pain, move better. So it's the same thing from a preventative standpoint. So this program is available, and it's I think it's super powerful. Again, you could find it in the links in my bio and or reach out to me. You'll find a way if you just type my clinic online.
Amazing. This was awesome, Greg. Thank you so much for your time today. Loved our conversation.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fall in Love with Fitness. Whether you're already on your fitness journey or just getting started, we're in this together. Just head on over to iTunes, subscribe, and leave a review, and you'll be entered into the drawing to win my 6-week transformation course. Then go to fallinlovewithfitness.com and get your free gift from me so you get back your energy and reinvigorate your life. Join me on the next episode, and remember, you are an inspiration.